The light of Jesus cannot shine and evaporate. There is no depth of hole you can be in right now that God cannot pull you out of. There is no sickness in your body that God cannot heal you of. There is no weakness in your body God can't give you strength over. There is no giant standing before you that God cannot slay. There is no mountain that's staring at you, laughing at you, that cannot be overcome. Because Jesus is still Lord. Do y'all hear me? Jesus Christ is Lord of all and everything. And that's not changed because the world has changed. Because the media has changed. Because society has changed. Because Facebook has changed. God is the same God of today, yesterday, tomorrow, and forever, and He changes not. He is still the God over every creation, the name above all names, above every principality and power and spiritual wickedness in high places. Our God is over it all. And one day, church, we are going to see Him face to face and worship our holy King. Hallelujah. That's our promise, and that's our future in Christ. Glory to God. Man, the presence of God is in this place this morning. It is so powerful what God is wanting to do this morning. If you will open your ears to hear what God is speaking today and what He has prepared for you, if we will walk in what God has already prepared. Do not let fear. Some of you this morning are battling fear. You're battling fear about a future event. You're battling fear about something you're going through now. You're battling fear about the things that have yet to come. But don't let fear be the ruler of your life. We have a God who's the God of peace, not the God of fear. The God of peace. Trust that peace. Trust what God is and who He is and what He's done. Trust that, because fear is a liar. Fear cannot tell the truth. Fear paints an accurate picture of what it wants you to see, but not the reality of what is. Because the reality is God is, period. God is, and fear is not. Fear is what the devil uses. Peace is what God is. And if you've got God, you've got peace. Do not be troubled. Let your hearts not be troubled. I have overcome the world. It's what God said. It's what Jesus says. I've overcome the world. So don't let fear rule you. All right. Got any kids in here? I got to get them out. I'll keep going. I got to get them out. I just got to stop. Get them out. Kids, be dismissed Sunday school. Let's get in our word this morning. We're going to start out in a, actually, we're going to start out in a verse not up there. We're going to start out in Isaiah 55. And then we'll get into Luke. Isaiah 55. God is so, that song they sung, I've Been Blessed, I was thinking, you know, where it says, God's been so good to us. You know, God has been so good to us. Oh, my gosh. You know, I know we all have some kind of pain in our life, whether it's physical, emotional, whatever it is. But all of us in here have hands and feet. We can walk. You may walk a little slower in here, but you walked. You may walk with a limp, but you walked. And we can raise our hands and we can see. You can see this beautiful table before you, and you can see the beautiful family around you. We are so blessed. We all have food. We all have a shelter. Probably all of us that can drive, most of us, have a vehicle. We have a safe place to go after we leave here. We are blessed. So blessed. God's been so good to us. And don't let what you're going through now define what's going to be. Because we've been talking about Joseph on Wednesday nights and how God had a process for Joseph and how Joseph's pit experience and then his enslavement experience and then his prison experience all was leading to the palace experience. So the process sometimes we don't like, but the process is necessary. So don't give up because you don't see it now. God is definitely on the move. Isaiah 55, verses 1, 2, and 3. Everyone that thirsteth, everyone, that's including you. Are you an everyone? Or are you an anything? Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Look at verse 2. This is very important to this message. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. eat that which is good. We all know that what we physically put in our bodies makes a difference in how we feel. We know that. If you leave church today and you go get a nice, crisp, good salad, now you can't get the salad that's all the bad stuff. Potato salad, macaroni salad. I'm talking about the good salad. And you eat a good salad and drink a glass of cold water and you leave the table, feel pretty good. But you eat a big old buffet, potatoes, macaroni, and bread, and three or four meats, and dessert, and pie, and cookies, and cake, and tacos, and all the stuff you put in your body. And all of a sudden, you feel sluggish. You have what you call that food coma, right? You like just go out. And then you have physical issues the rest of the day because of it. And you go through half a bottle of Tums and Rolaids because of it. Because what you put in your physical body affects you. And we know that. We know that. Spiritually, what are we eating? What are we allowing into our lives? Because what we put into our lives spiritually is what we become. It's what we are. And if we are making all the wrong decisions and letting the feeding our diet being what the world says it should be, and we're forsaking what God's word is, then we are on the wrong diet, and we are sick, and we are diseased, and we are weak because we are not getting the right nutrition. God's word feeds us, and it satisfies us, and it fulfills us, and it is enough. We truly can have joy and peace and all those things in Christ apart from what the world offers. But we tend to think, if I can have this, this satisfies. I spend money on lands, on houses, on cars, on trips, on this, on clothes, whatever it is that we find that amuses us, to entertain us, to satisfy us, but we find out all of that wears out. And the older you get, and you know you're getting older when you start saying things like, the older you get. The older you get, you begin to realize things that used to seem so important just don't seem as important now. When you're 25 years old, in most cases, unless you've got like a disease or something, but for a normal 25-year-old healthy person, the last thing on their mind, we'll take, you know, Ivy there. Probably the last concern Ivy has, probably, is her health. She's young, no issues. Girls are trying to make a living. Her big issue is my next paycheck or my next homework assignment or whatever. Not her health. She's young. She's healthy. But then you start getting a certain age. Right, Carol? I'm not saying you're a certain age. Then all of a sudden, man, you would trade anything for good health, wouldn't you? Almost anything for good health. Our priorities change because we realize what really is important in life. Our family, our health, our peace of mind. To have peace of mind. Like Melly, I love what Melly says. She's so accurate when she made the statement. We are always, every day, living in a storm. That was a powerful statement. Because we are. We sing songs about, you know, God brings through the storm. But we are living every day in a storm. There's a storm all around us every day. There's demonic warfare fighting. There's darkness fighting. There's sin all around us. Every day we're fighting a battle. Just to get out of bed and go to work and come home, you know, those 8 hours, you have fought a battle. You fought it. We're in the storm. She's absolutely right. The Bible tells us here, everyone that thirsteth, I've got something that will satisfy you, and it won't cost you anything. It's a free gift. It's a free gift because Jesus paid the price. It cost Jesus something, but it cost us nothing. What a precious gift. Verse 3, incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear what I've got to say, God's saying, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. An everlasting covenant, which means a covenant that does not end. This is the promise that the Word of God gives me, that He'll make a covenant that will not end. If you're thirsty, come to Jesus. If you're hungry, come to Jesus. I will satisfy you, and it's a gift that is free to you. We have a world searching for truth in all kinds of places, all the wrong places. We've got people seeking pleasure with alcohol and with drugs and with sex and with different relationships and going here and going there and doing this and doing that. But we find out we are still empty after doing those things. There's still a big old void. There's still something that just wears off that we are left inside feeling incomplete. The reason we feel incomplete is because we're not complete if we don't have Christ. Jesus completes us. Jesus satisfies us. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, you know, I love her story that talked about, you know, I've got all these husbands. I've had all these men. I've lived this life. And Jesus says, I've got water that will satisfy you. Do you want what I have to give you? Yes. Give it to me, Jesus. She was so excited to receive this gift. If we could be excited again to receive this gift. Karina's son, Mike Turner, who lives in Pittsburgh, give me a little more volume on this ear mic, Jeremy. He got saved last year. 45 years old. 45 years got saved. He gave his testimony. I saw it live. Their church does a live stream. And he gave his testimony last Sunday about how Jesus had changed his life. The best decision he ever made. He said it completely changed my life. He said, I'm on fire to serve and to do things for God. I want to do more and more and more. Think about this. Remember the day you want to do more and more and more for God? You were so on fire to serve. You were so on fire to do whatever you could for the cause of the gospel, for the cause of your local church, for the cause of the kingdom, whatever that is. And then through the years, the world's come in. Through the years, we've given ourselves away a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit here, and it's robbed us of that zeal and that passion we had for Christ. This table here has what we need. And if we can come back to the table today and say, Lord, fill me from your banquet. Fill me with what you have. We will leave out of here charged and changed by the power and the presence of God again. Because what we are doing is eternal. The work for the kingdom is eternal. It's everlasting. It's something that don't just pass away tomorrow. It's something that goes on forever. Just like when Richard passed away, he reminded me in the hospital, Brenda, sitting there in ICU 2 days before he died. He said, I talked to him. He says, Pastor, I am good. Remember, I got saved in your office, and I know I'm saved. Man, what peace that gives a person who's got 2 days to live to remember, I gave my heart to Jesus. I'm okay, Pastor. And he remembered that moment. Remember, I'd done forgotten about it till he brought it up. I said, oh, that's right. I remember. That's been several years ago. I said, that's right. We did. We went after service, he got me one night. He was moved by the message, and he said, I need to talk to you. And he had a tear in his eyes. Went to the office, told me he wanted to give his heart to the Lord. We joined hands. We prayed together in my office, and he held on to that. He held on to that. It's time we hold on to what God gives us. Don't let no man take away your joy. Don't let no man take away your peace. Don't give that power away to someone who doesn't have that power in your life. Don't let these things be robbed of you when Jesus has already given them to you. This world I know is wicked and evil and it's scary. But if we're in Jesus, he's my king. He's my Lord. He's my protector. He's my provider. He is my counselor. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my redeemer. He's my savior. He's my king. He's my everything. He feeds me when I'm hungry. He gives me water when I'm thirsty. He gives me rest when I'm weary. He gives me strength when I'm weak. That's the God that I serve. The God that rose the third day, that even the grave, even death, even the grave clothes could not keep him bound, because life was more powerful than death. And that same life, church, lives inside of us. Because the Bible says that it does. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us. But we walk like the walking dead. If you're anywhere under 25, you know that show. If you're over 25 and watch it, you're either really cool or really creepy. I'm not sure. But the walking dead. We walk around like the walking dead. Brains, I want brains. That's an old joke from me and Bill's younger days, our Florida trip. Brains, brains. And we just walk around with just no life, not realizing, man, we have the power of Jesus living in us. Here's how powerful the life of Jesus was. When Peter came out of the upper room, he wasn't drunk as we know. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he came out of the upper room and gave that first message of the risen Christ to those people, it was so moving, it was so powerful, that 3,000 people said, Peter, I want what you got. How do I get it? Man, that's power. And he still has that power, but we've got to put down our telephones so we can hear it and see it. And we got to quit worrying. It's funny. I told Michael when he came in, I said, can you help me out? I said, Brandon is out of town. He says, yeah, Tennessee. I said, Facebook? Yeah. That's how we are, right? I mean, man, we can track everybody's life to the meal they eat, to the socks they put on, to the movie they're watching, the game they're at, to the girlfriend they're dating behind their wife's back. All that stuff, man, it is on there. Be careful what you post, or you may get a dose of your wife's Holy Ghost. I'm just saying. That same power. I think about that many times. What a message that must have been. Man, what a moment Peter must have had. The boldness and the conviction and the influence out of his lips, the authenticity of the Word of God, the anointing, the authority that he must have preached with to have 3,000. Man, you know how many times we have altar calls and maybe one person may walk up? Church, I'm going to tell you something. The altar is not about just always, I want to go to heaven to come to the altar. Man, the altar is a place to say, you know what? I've got some baggage and I've got some problems and I want them out of my life today. And I want God to help me. And if I got a chance to come to the table of Jesus, my God, why would I pass that up? I'm not that holy. I'm not that strong. I need something. All of us in here need something from the Lord today. We need something. We're just not that good on our own. And we're not that got it together life. I don't care what Facebook says. They don't have it together. If their life's too good to be true, guess what? It is. That's just how it is. Turn to John 14. Is it 14? Luke 14, I'm sorry. Yes, Luke 14. Luke 14, beginning with verse 16, says this. This is talking about the Lord preparing a banquet. Then he said to him, a certain man made a great supper. They used supper back. Ain't that something? We thought of the southern term, didn't we? They come all the way over from Israel. He made a supper and bade many. He invited many. He sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were invited, come, look at this, come for what? How many things? All things are ready now. Not later. Not tomorrow. Not, well, when I get to heaven. Yes, we know. We've heard about your heaven trip for 50 years. We appreciate it. And we know when we get to heaven, it's all good. But man, what about the journey? I mean, we need some heaven on earth, don't we? We need some peace on earth. We need some strength on earth. We need some joy on earth. We need some healing on earth while we're here. We need to know that there are things God has given us that we can walk in, we can experience, we can be a part of right now. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to have peace. I can have peace right now because my peace is in Jesus. I can have joy of the Lord right now because my joy is in the Lord. I cannot allow my circumstances and the things around me and the storm, as Melanie said, that I'm living in to keep me down whenever Jesus has lifted me up. So he said, all is prepared and all is now and it's ready. And they all with one consent begin to make excuses. The first one says, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I pray that you have me excused. Another one says, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I have to go prove them, test them. I pray you have me excused. Another says, I married a wife. Whew, bless his heart. Therefore, I cannot come because she won't let me. That's how it's saying. Here are 3 people that have been invited. Now, this is a parable Jesus is using, okay? It's a parable. It's a teaching moment. 3 people he's invited to this beautiful supper. Look, I'm going to tell you, me and Melanie's like this. Y'all invite us to lunch, we down. I have no ox to plow, and I have no parcel of ground to till today. I do have a wife, but she will go where I go. So all is good. I have no problem turning down your accepting your invitation, just to say. Here's three people that said, Lord, we can't come because. How many times do we not receive what God has because? Because this is in the way. Because this is more important. Because this is priority. Because of this, God. Because of my past. Because of what I'm going through now. Because of what I've done. Because of who I am. Whatever the reason we use, Lord, I can't come and receive what you have. Even though you made it. Even though it's ready. Even though it's prepared. God, I can't come right now. It's just not on my priority list. The world can really get in the way if we're not careful with our lives. Because there's so many obligations that we attach ourselves to that really don't make a difference. I'm going to tell you this. Now, this is not to offend anybody. It's just something as a pastor that I see. I like sports. So I'm saying this from a pro sports person. I enjoy watching sports. I like basketball. I like football, baseball, some. And I enjoy watching sports. And our son used to play sports when he was little. And, you know, we supported all that. But we have this thing now called travel sports. Whether it's volleyball, whether it's soccer, whatever it is, where people are spending thousands of dollars to travel and to be gone every weekend to do all of these sports. And I've talked to several families that participate in this, and here's the deal. I'm not trying to bust nobody's bubble. Don't nobody say, boy, you're no Dr. Phil, you're no motivator. I'm just being real. How many of these kids are going to be pro and make a living at doing it? 0.00001% out of 100,000. I mean, it ain't going to happen. So we waste all of that money, all of that time, all of that energy, all of that stress, yelling at the coaches and whining why your kid ain't playing, spending all your family time doing that instead of teaching them. I'm not saying the parents don't do both. I'm just saying, instead of saying, let's see what the priority is here. Do you know what? Y'all may think we're wrong for this. But we took our son out of Boy Scouts. He was in Boy Scouts for about a year, maybe less than a year. And they started doing all these out-of-town events, and they were doing it every Sunday. He was little then. I said, maybe he was with the wrong troop. I don't know. But they were doing stuff every Sunday. And I said, look, he's not going to be out of church on Sunday. To me, church is priority that he has a foundation of being in the house of God and knowing the importance of that. And so we pulled him out. Says, we're making a decision as parents that to be in church is more important than traveling and starting firewood on Sundays every week. Now, I know they have some good calls. I know they have some good things. I get that. But we have to make our priorities. And here is Jesus saying, I prepared everything, but nobody wants to come because other things are more important than what I'm offering. Or they think they don't need what I'm offering. You ever look in the mirror and say, I don't really need to lose no weight. According to the scale, I'm obese. You know, you take your height, right, and then your weight, and has that columns. And I would probably say, by the doctor's point of view, 75% of us in here are obese. Don't mean to hurt your feelings. I'm just saying. No, Teresa ain't, bless her heart. But 75% of us are obese, according to what doctors say. My God, I'm double obese, y'all. I'm just saying. What was my point to that? I had a point. Anyway. Oh, yes, right. You're looking in the mirror saying, I don't need to lose weight. When in reality, you're 50 pounds overweight. And here's your excuse. Well, I carry it good, though. It's all in the right places, though. Well, I don't look like my uncle. I don't look like, you're at Walmart, you're like, man, baby, aren't you glad I don't look like that? No, tell me I don't do that. How many of you say, I'm glad I ain't that big? Oh, yeah, we've done that. When I see guys I graduated with and they got less hair than me, I love it. I'm the first one to say, hey, I got more hair than they do. Or if it's totally gray, when they got hair, but it's totally gray. At least I ain't gray yet. Sorry, Ryan. At least I ain't ready yet. We make excuses that we don't need to lose weight. We don't need to change anything. We don't need. When it comes to sin, it's like Virgil Short said one Sunday. If you ain't heard this story, it's hilarious. Joe's heard it many times. Virgil Short, God rest his soul, was passed on. And he come through the church, come to the back door one Sunday. I was shaking hands, and he had his suit on. He always dressed so spiffy. He had his suit on. He was he's a businessman, real class act. He come through there and shook my hand and said, "Pastor, that was a good message this morning, talking about sin. You didn't touch me." Now, look, how many of us feel that way? That's a good message. You know, it's like I say, I've said, you know, if Barbara's over there tapping Don when I'm preaching, hey, Don, it's probably Barbara needs to hear the message. The one doing the elbow is the one really getting hit. So, Don, next time she punches you, just remember, ooh, the Holy Ghost all on her. That's how that works. I'm just telling you. So here Jesus invites these people, but they make excuses. They didn't see the need to come. They didn't see the need to come to the banquet. It wasn't a priority. It wasn't as important as what their other things they had planned to do. When we make Jesus a priority in his word, our lives will change. They'll be transformed. I promise you. All right. Verse 21. Yes. So the servant came. He showed his Lord these things. So he told his you know, Lord, I invited three people. None of them come. The master of the house became angry. And he said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. This is the word for us. We compel those. They don't have to pass a background check to come to church. They don't have to pass a drug test to sit in the sanctuary. They don't have to look like you to be accepted. They don't have to dress like you to be loved. It is about telling people what Jesus has offered, and this offer is to all humanity. It's not just to one race, one political party, to just the poor, just the rich, just the white or just the black, just to the liberal or the conservative, just to the good guy or the really bad guy. It doesn't matter. This table has been prepared for all humanity. And that's the beauty of what Jesus did. He always, if you read the Bible of Jesus, man, he ate with sinners. He ate with, they made fun of him for it. They persecuted him for it. Master, what are you doing eating with them? Remember, eating in that culture was considered a very intimate setting. It really is still, really, it should be. But it was considered a real intimate thing when you ate the same table with someone. It was like real deep, intimate fellowship. Everyone. You remember like in high school or middle school, you had that table with all the popular kids? You even look at that table. You kept walking, right? Didn't even look. You carried a little tray. Didn't even look because you knew you couldn't sit there. You had to find folks look like you. Here at the redneck table, that's where I'll go. That's where the cowboy boots and tobacco-spitting boys sit. I'll go over there. There's the nerd table. I'll go over there because they're all the computer geeks. That's where I'll sit. You know, there's the jock table, all the athletes and football players. Ooh, bench 250. Ooh, big deal. Can you tell I got some regressed anger there? So I set that table. It's like that in church sometimes. Somebody walks in, man, gosh, don't they know no better than to look like that or act like that or dress like that? Or, man, why is the preacher talking to them? Why is the preacher letting somebody with a tattoo up on the stage sing? Why is the preacher letting somebody with multicolored hair testify? Why is the preacher letting somebody that has been in jail teach a Sunday school class? Why? You know, we have all these things. Look, this table is for all of us. It's not just for a select few. This isn't the Marines. This is the Army. This is for everybody. I mean, everyone can come sit down, regardless of where you've been or what you've done or who you are. Jesus has already prepared it. So they went and compelled all these people in. Then verse 24, for I say unto you that none of those men which were invited shall taste of my supper. They would not be recipients of what God had available to them. How many times do we not receive what God's got available to us? The availability that He's made possible, but we refuse to eat, either out of doubt, out of rebellion, out of fear, out of lack of understanding, out of judgment. I mean, we've got to get beyond this and realize that the table Jesus has prepared, all can come to this table. Let's talk about some things I've got. I got some special dishes up here we'll go through. And I got verses to back up these dishes. The first one is a great souffle. I just like that word. Is that the right word, souffle? Yeah. Let's start. I'm going to kind of do this in a specific order. Let's start out with this first dish that Jesus offers is this. Forgiveness. Boy, forgiveness is where it all begins. This is the foundation of the gospel. Pull up my next verse. 1 John 1:9. Look what it says about forgiveness. If we confess our sins. That's the problem. Virgil didn't want to confess. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Pastor, I've done some bad stuff. There it is. All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. No matter what we've done, no matter how bad we've been, no matter how many times we've done it. See, some of us Christians are so shallow, we're like, well, I did it twice. They did it 22 times. Kind of like the parable of Jesus when it said, Master, how many times do we forgive our neighbor? Right? Because the law says 7 times. If we just follow that law, we'd be in good shape, wouldn't we? 7 times. We can't forgive somebody 1 time. He says, I don't say 7. I say 70 times 7. Jesus says you forgive them every time you have to. So this first dish at this table today, you can find forgiveness. Now, I'm not talking about just forgiveness unto salvation. Maybe you're carrying some guilt today and some shame that is interfering with your walk with God. It's interrupting your flow, and you're like, God, I want to know I've been forgiven. I want this burden off of me. Lord, I confess that I've been wrong, and I'm sorry, and I want you to wash me and cleanse me. You know, you ever had those moments you came to the altar and you left feeling so light, so refreshed? You were so heavy when you came, but when you left, you felt like a burden had been lifted off because God had removed the guilt you were carrying. That's the first dish we have, forgiveness. Because of forgiveness, that produces this next dish in this beautiful little long tray here. Looks like something you have egg rolls on or something. This dish, eternal life is waiting at this table for you. Because He has forgiven you, you now have been granted eternal life. Which means your life ending here does not mean it ends forever. It does not mean that you only live 60, 70, 80, 100 years and it's over. But you have eternal life, which means that you transcend death and the power of death no longer has power over you. Because at this table, what Jesus prepared for you was you can live forever. Though you are sick and though you're in pain, you know, at the end of Billy Graham's life, he became quite sick and quite immobile. Heard he lost his hearing, couldn't hardly see, was pretty much bound to a bed or a chair, and had really gotten in bad shape physically. But you know what? He had this. So being bound in the chair didn't bind him here. Not seeing here didn't bind him from seeing this. Not hearing here didn't bind him from hearing this. That Jesus, he gave his last public message at 95 years old, I believe, is when he actually spoke for the last time publicly at 95 and was still declaring Jesus Christ. Eternal life is something in this beautiful dish. Get the next verse for that. John 3:16, Joe Brown, this is your verse. This will be read at Joe Brown's time of departure into the holy land of Jesus in the next 20 or 30 years when that happens. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah! That's waiting on you right here at this table. to know, God, thank you that you've given me eternal life. Cancer don't kill me. Heart disease don't kill me. Diabetes don't kill me. Car wrecks don't kill me. Nothing can destroy me because God has already guaranteed me I will not taste death. Jesus said that. If you believe in me, you shall not taste death. Thank God we have that. Two wonderful dishes, forgiveness and eternal life. Now, because we have been forgiven and because we know we have eternal life, we now can eat of this and enjoy this. Ah, peace. And I'm not talking about the peace. I know I make fun of this, and please just understand, you got to know my humor, okay? If you do this, nothing wrong with it necessarily. I don't guess. But we're not talking about the peace that yoga brings you. Okay, we're not talking yoga. Yeah, yoga, not Yoda. Yoga. This peace is a peace that comes from your understanding and your relationship with your Lord. It comes from knowing the covenant that God has made with you. And realizing no matter what happens in this world, I can have peace because I'm in Jesus and He is in me. Some of us are scared to do certain things now because we're worried about being attacked. We're scared to travel. We're scared to drive. We're scared to fly because of what might happen. We're scared to go here because of what might happen. We avoid certain places because of what might happen. We avoid certain things in life because of what might happen. But if you've got, and I understand we use wisdom. I mean, you don't want to walk down the middle of the street on the wrong side of town at 3 a.m. saying, "Hey, I got God. What y'all gonna do about it?" You don't do that, okay? But what I'm saying is, we don't stop living our lives because the devil makes us so afraid. Here's the thing. The devil whispers, "Well, what if, Joe? What if this happens?" Joe says, "What if it does? I'm with Jesus." The best example of that is the three Hebrew children at the fiery furnace. And the king said, "If you don't bow, I'm going to put you in there." And I love their response. It was so beautiful. We're not even careful to answer you, king. We don't have to even think about it. Whether we're saved by God or not, we're out of your hands. That's what it says. We're out of your hands. So I got peace. If I burn up, I'm with Jesus. If I don't, He saved me. But either way, I win. You're going to see my God either way. You're going to see the power of my God either way because my God is real and I've got peace, and a fiery furnace will not take that peace. Don't let your fiery furnaces rob you of your peace. He's still the God of the fire. He's the God of the water. He's the God of every storm and every battle. He is the God of all things. So we can have peace today at this table. And because we have peace, the next beautiful dish, we can have joy. Joy to the world, all the boys and girls. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. Man, joy. That was horrible. You ain't got to clap. That was terrible. Joy. And I'm not talking about the kind of joy that comes with getting a new pickup truck. That's fun. And that's nice until the transmission goes out. I'm talking about a joy, not a necessarily a happiness of something that happens in your life, but a joy that remains no matter what happens in your life. That's the difference. See, happiness, think about this, happiness comes from happenings. So that is attached to what's happening in our lives, whether we're happy or not. You know, oh man, the pastor tore it today. I'm happy. Man, he talked about tithes. I'm sad. You know, whatever it is. We let what happens to us influence us. We go to work Monday morning. Oh, thank God she called in sick. Woohoo! Yes, it's going to be a great Monday. Oh, we see her car in the parking lot. Oh, my God, no. Don't let what's happening affect that. That's what affects happiness. But joy is really the opposite. There's nothing that should happen that should rob you of your joy in the Lord. Whatever you're battling, because guess what? You've got everlasting life. Devil can't take that away. But man, you don't understand. I've been attacked and I've lost my job. You got eternal life. But I'm really sick. You got eternal life. Yes. I'm going through a divorce, but you got eternal life. I'm having money problems, but you got eternal life. And because you got eternal life, you can have peace about that. And because you got peace about that, you can have joy about where you're going and about what God has done for you. Joy is all about what's happening to you and you still remaining faithful to God. Now, because of joy, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our what?
Strength.
Another beautiful dish we get from God. I can have strength. Now, we're talking about, of course, spiritual, emotional strength for our lives. Because I know battles can tear us down. Sure, I've been married for 26 years, almost. Raised 3 kids. And my life has changed a lot in 26 years. And there have been many battles and storms in 26 years. There have been many seasonal changes. And I have needed the strength of God, as well as mentally needing the strength of God, as parents, as a spouse, as a first lady of a church, has needed strength all of these years to keep on moving forward. And that strength does not come from us trying to do just self-motivational talks and all this stuff that we do to try to build ourselves up. This strength comes from relying on the strength of God. Remember what Paul says? It's such a, almost an oxymoron, but I love it. When I am weak, then am I strong. When I am weak, why? What was he saying? When I become so weak in myself that there's nowhere else to turn, when I give up all of who I am, I begin to experience all of who God is. When I'm at my lowest point, that's when I see God the very most, because I can't go one more step and God picks me up and I see him. It's like the poem Footprints, you know, carrying me in the sand and all that. Y'all know that poem. Strength. The strength. We can have strength to face whatever we're battling. We think something coming against us is so insurmountable, so impossible, but it's not with God's strength. It is not with the strength of God. David many times had to rely on this beautiful dish off God's table, because David was always being attacked by enemies. He was always being attacked by, you know, whatever came against his life. I didn't read that verse on peace, did I? I'm sorry. Go back to peace. My ADD just kicked in. I realized that. Sorry. Look at John 14, 27. Peace I leave. This is Jesus talking. Peace I leave with you. I leave it with you. Now, when you leave something with somebody, if Don comes and says, hey, Pastor, I'm going to leave $100 with you. Thanks. Guess what? He ain't getting it back. He left it. Possession's 9/10 the law, buddy. Ain't that right, Carrie? She in here? I'm going to leave you this. Oh, thanks. If you leave somebody something, don't that imply it's theirs? I'm going to leave you a bag of groceries at your door. I'm going to leave you a plane ticket. I'm going to leave you a Mi Pablo's gift card. I'm going to leave you. Look, Jesus says, I'm going to leave it with you. My peace, I give to you. Wow, Jesus says he'll give me his peace. Not as the world gives it, because once again, man, we may think we have peace in the world. There's times in our lives things are great, right? The job is going wonderful. We just got promoted, got a big bonus. You know, we're looking good. Our wife's looking good. You're the Ken, she's the Barbie. Man, life's great. You got the 2.5 kids, the one dog, the one cat, and the one parakeet, the picket fence, 2.5 cars. Life's great. I know what Opie said. I don't understand. 2.5 boys, whatever. Anyway, everything's great. But then all of a sudden, you lose your job. All of a sudden, you lose your wife. All of a sudden, the picket fence is gone, and something in your life shifts dramatically. Do you still have that same peace? That's a peace the world gives. Here's the danger about accepting the peace the world gives you. The world can take it away. But the peace God gives you. Look what it says. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It says in the Bible that this peace he gives, the world can't take it away. The world doesn't take away the peace God gives you. Even in your storm, you can have peace. Even in your battle, you can have strength. Even in your sorrow, you can still have joy. Even in your doubt, you can still have assurance. These are things that Jesus gives us. Now get to my scripture on strength. John 16, 22, or joy. Oh, we're on, I missed that one too. I'm so sorry. I got talking about this and forgot my verses. This is about joy, 16, 22 in John, St. John. Therefore, you now have sorrow, This is when Jesus was talking to disciples about he's going to be, you know, leaving, departing. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one can take from you. No one can take the joy away. You know, if you're sitting there saying, okay, I see that, Pastor, but you know what? I disagree, because I sure have lost my joy. Well, here's the deal. It's not because no one took it away from you or someone took it away from you. It's because you gave it away. Right. Really, you gave it away. You gave it away instead of holding on to what God has given you. Joy isn't just about when times are good and when you're on the mountaintop. Joy is also when you're in the valley. Right. Joy is also when things happen. You know, Bob was in the hospital a month or so back, pretty sick, and I'm sure as he lay in a hospital bed, it wasn't the most joyful time in his life. But I'm sure he reflected on the Word of God, reflected on his Savior, and realized, God, you're in this hospital bed with me. You're in a situation with me, and you're still God. And I'll come out of this. We don't always plan our situations. We can't plan for a phone call we don't want. We can't plan for an event in the future that may happen. But we can hang on to the peace and the joy that God has given us, because that carries us through everything we could ever face. To trust that. All right, next verse, strength. Isaiah 40, 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord. The word wait actually translates into eagerly expect. An eager expectation. Those that eagerly expect God. Just trust Him enough to eagerly expect Him. Expect God to move. Expect God to show up. When we do that, when we wait on that move of God, it renews our strength. He gives an analogy here. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. There's nothing more powerful, is it, looking at the sky and seeing an eagle fly across the sky. An eagle soaring with his, just above the whole world, free, with his wings spread out, flying across the land. We have that freedom with our strength. And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God gives us the strength. I'm so weak, Pastor. I'm tired of being weak. I'm tired of not having any strength. I'm wore out and I'm exhausted and I'm tired. Come to the table today and let God eat off His table. Whatever you need today. God, I need joy. I need peace. I need strength. I need hope. I need assurance. I need forgiveness. Whatever it is. And then we got one more dish. This is the best one. This is the banana pudding right here. This is Grandma's banana pudding, and she's not here to hear about it. In this dish is our last thing here we're going to talk about. Anything else you need. Anything else you need is at this table. I can't cover everything, of course, God gives us. So I covered just a few basics. But anything today you need can be found at the table of Jesus. Because He knows what you're carrying. He knows what you're burdened for. He knows your thoughts. He knows your intents. He knows your pain. He knows everything about you. And whatever you need today, He is here. I got a verse for that too, right? Philippians 4:19. And God shall supply all of your need. This has been taught as a prosperity gospel verse. It's been so mispreached, it frustrates me, because men and women have took this verse and made it sound like a new Cadillac, a new mansion. That's not what the Bible is talking about whatsoever. I'm not saying God can't give you a Cadillac and a mansion, but this is not what this verse is talking about. Paul is saying, whatever your need is, God will supply it and meet it according to His riches in glory. God is rich in forgiveness. He's rich in peace. He's rich in joy. He's rich in strength. He's rich in hope. He's rich in anything else you need. God's got abundant supply. He's not going to run out. No matter how many times you come to Him, He's not going to run out. You may be at a point this morning, you're at the end of your rope. You're at the end of a situation that you just are ready to throw in the towel. I want to offer this today for you to come to the table and stand around this table with me this morning. And let's pray and receive all that God has for you off of this table today. that you will leave here filled with what he has prepared, not what the world has prepared, but what you need. Because each one of us needs something different. And I love how God is a God that understands our unique situation and is able to give us exactly what our heart desires. All of us are carrying something today. And this table is for all people, not just the old nasty sinner, and not just the old holy saint, and not just the arrogant, and not just the pious. It's for every person, the rich and the poor. Every person, whatever you're battling today, this is waiting on you. Jesus has prepared it. He said in Revelations, "Behold, I knock at the door. If any man will open, I will come in and sit with him. I will sup with him." Jesus is calling today. Jesus has prepared everything we need right now. Think about this. How many of us would turn down a free meal from anyone that wanted to take us somewhere? Yeah, I know Kevin wouldn't. I mean, we just wouldn't do that. If someone says, "Hey, I prepared this, I got it all ready, you know, no cost to you, just show up." I'm there. God's prepared all that we need. We seek so much help in things that don't bring us the help we need. And we think that we're too battered and too dirty and too torn to come to this table. We think in our minds that we're not good enough. We're not right enough with God to even approach his table. Whenever we read story after story of who Jesus talked to, the Samaritan woman, Zacchaeus, the crooked tax collector, that he actually came to his house and ate. And then the 10 lepers who came to Jesus, who other people wouldn't even touch because leprosy was considered an unclean, ceremonially unclean. They couldn't even be touched. They couldn't even live in town. If you had leprosy, they had to live outside the gate. And here come 10 lepers to Jesus. He didn't do this. He didn't say, "Talk the hand." He didn't say, "Ugh, really? You're coming to me? Do you know what you are? I might get your cooties. You're a leper. I don't want to get your spots." I'm sorry, that's a little joke. Leper spots, get it. Anyway, he didn't say that. What'd he do? He healed all 10 of them. He healed them. The centurion soldier who came to Jesus, the captain, said, "I have a servant back home who is sick." He said, "I'll come as soon as I can and heal him." He said, "You don't need to come there, master. Just speak the word. He'll be healed." We got to believe that again, that God's word is enough. It's enough. This same word from 2,000 years ago we're reading about today is still just as powerful and relevant and alive today. Let's believe what God's word says. It's not changed because the world wants to water it down. Let's receive what God has. There's so many things he wants to bless us with and us to walk in if we would just receive it. Say, "God, you prepared it and you've done it." Sometimes this happens too. We try to work to get it ourselves. Well, if I do this, George Ann's like, if I pray harder, God will help me. If I do this more, God will. The table has been prepared. Just come and eat. Just come and eat. There's no work on your part. It's receiving what Jesus, the light of the world, has already prepared. And if God is calling you today to come and say, "Lord, I need this. I need joy. I need peace. I need healing. I need breakthrough. I need hope. I need forgiveness. God, I need your saving grace." Whatever it is that you need today, I'm going to play a song. It's called "Come to the Table." And I want you to turn that down kind of low, Michael, real kind of low. We'll play this song. And if God is, if you need something from his table today, if you're hungry and you want to be filled, I believe as you stand up here in front of this table. Now, I want to say this because some of us have a real hard time with it. I don't know why. I don't know why in church it's so hard for folks to come forward. We have no problem going forward anywhere else. None. If you were at a big old football game and a PA called your name, "Joe Brown, come to the 50-yard line." He'd be getting down there fast as little feet would go. We'd have no problem standing down there. Oh my gosh. Price is Right. Shirley Childers, you're the next contestant. Come on down. She'd be hugging everybody, kissing everybody, flattering around, dancing. Woo-hoo! Woo! Raise the roof. I mean, you know. I want to shout out back to my girl, my cousin Arlene back in North Carolina. I mean, she'd be going crazy. You see a quiet Shirley come alive, I guarantee you. Because she's the next contestant on The Price is Right. But man, when it comes to church, I don't know. I'll just sit here in my seat and do it. Well, can you eat at Golden Corral if you're sitting at home? Ain't you got to kind of go there? Can you get gas to your car sitting in your front porch? I'll just sit here and get gas. You got to actually go to the gas station. Here's the table. Okay, the table's here, not back there. The table is here today. And this was set up yesterday with the intent of lives being filled and changed at this table today. So as this song is played, if it's anything you need from God, come up here and just stand along the table. If you want to bow, you can, whatever. Just come up here and just stand at the altar. And when the song is over, we are going to pray together for all of us to receive what God has for us today. Play the song, Michael.
We all start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, yes, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. And these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here.
No one unwelcome at this table. I love that part.
And that sin and shame that you brought with you,
yes,
you can leave it at the door.
Thank you, Lord.
And let mercy draw you,
yes,
near.
Thank you.
To the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes,
yes,
all who failed,
thank
they've been
you,
forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained
and all the free,
free,
yeah,
all who follow.
table.
Let's pray right now. And I want everyone at this table, whatever you need, God knows it. And I want you to see yourself eating the dish that you need today and it satisfying your soul, that you will leave here filled, not empty and not hungry and not void, but filled. God, as we are around your table today, with all the benefits of what you provided, with peace and with joy and with love and with strength and with hope, God, we are drinking from your cup right now. In the name of Jesus, God, we are drinking from your table and we are believing for our lives to be renewed and to be restored and to be strengthened. We are believing for chains to fall off this morning. We are believing for healing to come forth. We are believing for fear and doubt to be gone. We are believing for darkness to evaporate. We are believing, God, that you will satisfy our desire and our hearts will illuminate with your glory and with your power. Let your Holy Spirit fall upon us right now, God, and change our hearts and change our voice and change our vision and change our hearing in the name of Jesus. God, we are at your table and we thank you that you are filling us with the manna from heaven this day, that we are not the same. In Jesus' name we declare it and we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Let it be, so be it. We are leaving filled by your presence in this place in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sarah, come on up here, darling. Where are you at? We want to pray for Sarah. He's out here. Come here, that's fine. We want to pray for Sarah. And I need some believers to come around her and lay your hands on her. Some ones that believe God can heal. She needs a healing in her body. She needs a healing. Lord, as Sierra's at your table right now, God, we speak forth your healing power to fix this problem and to make it go away. As she touches your garment at this table, Lord, we prophesy healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. That every sickness will leave and the affliction will be lifted off. And she will be restored and made whole again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go ahead and play it again, Michael. Let's just sing that song while we're up here, at least part of it. The words will be up there, and you don't know, but let's kind of just sing it, just worship the Lord before we sit down this morning. Powerful words in this song. Thank you, Jesus. May not be your key, but just try to sing along with it.
We all start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins.
Yes.
We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give, oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost,
his love,
love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior.
Yes.
Sit down and be set free. Come to the table.
That's all of us in this.
These liars and these thieves, there's no one unwelcome here.
Yes.
And that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door.
Stopped here.
And then mercy draws you near.
Lord.
Table. to the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all first, all the paupers and the princes, all who fail and then forgive, all who dream and all who suffer, all who love and lost another, all the chained and all free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down, all the lost who have been found, all who've been labeled right or wrong, to everyone who hears his song. Come to the table, come join the sinners, you have been redeemed, take your place beside. To the table.
Oh, there's nothing like Jesus, is there? There is nothing like Jesus. Y'all hug each other, love each other before you sit down, support each other. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful service. Beautiful how God moved this morning. Ushers, y'all stay up here for my ushers to stay up here. Hey, play that, you can go back out there at my desktop and play that one song, Zach Thomas. Yeah, that'd be a good upbeat song for the offering.
Lord, we thank you for this beautiful service that you've given us. And we just thank you how you've moved. We thank you that at your table all is provided. And God, we are leaving filled today. We are leaving changed by your presence, God. And we have made a way to say, Lord, I want what you've got. And we are thankful you provided it. We ask your blessing on the offering, Lord, as every seed is sown, that your kingdom is blessed and that this church body is blessed by it, that we continue to grow and reach people for the gospel. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Revival.
Turn down a little bit.
And it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning.